Hello and welcome to a very special episode 19 of the Back to Front show. It's the end of year review come BAFTA awards, Kieran.
It is. BAFTA.
BAFTA, yes. Well, it's not really the BAFTAs, as you may know it, but it's the Back to Front Awards special, episode 19. We had hoped to go bi-weekly, obviously, and failed miserably, but we perhaps may be able to get one more episode in before the end of the year. But we thought we'd kick off December with our sort of end-of-year review, come sort of tongue-in-cheek awards.
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yes. But anyway, much tongue-in-cheek, not at all serious.
Well, I don't know. We've toiled and argued and
and we'll come up with an award each.
Come up with an award each. Yes, I've got one for you and you've got one for me. It's brilliant. End of podcast. But yeah, how have you been?
Good. How about you?
Good. Yeah.
Where have you been?
Oh,
flying around the world.
No. I was in glamorous Cardiff last week at the handheld conference.
Really?
Yes.
How was it?
Well, I was being a booth boy. I was about to say babe there, but that wouldn't be right. Yes, in my capacity as a Shopify person. But yeah, ducked in for a few of the talks. Ling Valentine from Ling's Cars came on in a Dalek suit, pushed on by Andy Clark and John Hicks, which is not something I'd ever thought I'd see or say.
It looked to me like her talk might have been controversial. Would that be?
Yes, I think the premise was you can't fit a website in a mobile phone.
I see.
Physical dimensions to dictate this. But yeah, apparently it was a good talk. A lot of people enjoyed it. A lot of people enjoyed it.
Pretty in terms good. Of like a lot of people enjoy stand-up, that kind of thing.
I don't know. I think it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but also there was some, you know, a lot of opinion and some interesting talking points. But yeah, there was five, six, seven, eight, nine talks during the day, and there were some workshops the day before. And it was really nice down in Cardiff Bay. Have you been to Cardiff Bay?
I have, yes. Lovely. I went to Word Camp there once.
Word Camp?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going back a bit now. Have you got the t-shirt still?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it.
No, I think I only use it for DIY.
DIY, okay.
That's I think you've ever seen me in DIY mode.
Well, this is probably a good thing.
It is, yeah.
One surmises.
For the best.
But Craig and his partner Amy did a really good job and pretty epic venue. The
I saw the pictures. It looked very sort of theatrical.
Yes, I don't know what it is. Is it the concert hall? It's the world's Europe's biggest stage, as we ascertained earlier on in the year.
Yeah, but, that's right. When he very kindly sponsored us.
He did. So thank you again. Handheld conference. I'm sure we'll be doing it again next year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was, you know, there's a lot of Doctor Who going on around there. A lot of people in our industry into Doctor Who.
Yes, that's a surprise, isn't it?
And I kind of just look blankly as people are explaining that these pillars are the Torchwood HQ. And I was like, okay.
Oh, right, okay.
All right, yeah. Okay.
It's like you talking to me about celebrities.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Similar.
There's nothing wrong with keeping, you know, your finger on the zeitgeist, or zeitgeist, however you say it, of celebrity culture.
Mm-hmm.
But, true. Anyway.
Moving swiftly on.
We have, I don't know, how many have we got? We've got a bunch to get through.
We've got a bunch to get through, yeah. Oh, so blimey. We should kick off.
It's three or four pages worth of notes here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's kick off with the first award.
Have we got some sort of music to go behind this?
I haven't prepared any.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, all right. This is going to sound dramatic.
Well, we could insert some, leave a pause and then insert some, but that would be sort of a bit premeditated, which is not how we go about things.
No, it's not how we roll. No, okay. No.
Okay, so category one, conference/event of the year.
Yes.
What did you pick for that one? Drum roll.
I actually chose the TFI Interactive event at Tribeca Film Festival.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where's that? Does that take place in Somerset or...?
Yeah, that's Deepest Darkest.
Deepest Darkest. On the Levels Film Festival.
On the Levels,
I believe that was... when did you go over there? Was it August?
No, April or something.
Really?
Wow. April, May.
Wow, the Tribeca.
Yeah.
Why was it so good?
It was just really interesting to see what non-techies... Well, actually, there was lots of techies there, but what techies were doing to help storytellers tell stories digitally.
Okay.
It's like really different event. I've never been to anything like that before. I hate to use a buzzword, but you know, it's like the transmedia thing that they're doing. This, you know, how do we tell stories across multiple platforms?
Oh, okay.
So it was some really interesting stuff going on.
So is that documentary and film, or
yeah, not necessarily just not just necessarily fictional stuff either. There's a lot of stuff like, I think it's called Bear 37, which is about tracking bears in the wild. Documentary.
Why would that one appeal to you?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
You and your bears, anyways.
Anyway, moving swiftly on.
Yeah. So, would you go back next year or?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes, given the opportunity, I would. Yeah, definitely.
Do you think you'll get flown over with Distrify or no?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I think it's an invite only event, so I don't know whether I'll get invited next year. I'd like to be. Hint, hint.
Because I'm sure those people who have the guest list for the TFI Interactive Tribeca listen
back to front show.
Yeah, we reach parts of the podcast cannot reach.
It was very good.
Very good. Cool. I had trouble with this one. I've got to be honest.
Really?
And, yeah, you were lambasting me for picking
two.
It's
not like you haven't been to enough conferences.
I've been to four or five this year. but yeah, if you'll permit me, I have a joint award. And in many ways,
I'm not happy about this at all.
I know. The people who organise it, they're like best friends anyway, and you never see them apart. So it's kind of fitting.
Mm.
So I've picked two, and I've got reasons for both. Oh, right. Reasons for both. It's Reasons to Be Creative and Beyond Telerand. They get my award for conference/event of the year.
If you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, and it's only because kind of my talk of the year was at Reasons, that I'd have to go with Reasons. But it would be by a cat's whisker. It really would. I'd never been to either of the events before, but I'd known the organisers, Johnny Belmont. It's not his real name, but everyone calls him that. Actually, what is his real name? John Davey. And but everyone just calls him JB or Johnny Belmont. Beyond Telerun by Mark, I think it's Teela, is probably how you say it. And they were just really, really great events. The venue for Beyond Telerun is just something very, very different. He has these cocktail tables with little lights and sort of tablecloths. And it's just really, really nicely done. There was a break after every talk, which seemed revolutionary and still does to me. You know, no sitting for 3 hours, getting fidgety and not concentrating. There were sort of 45-minute talks, and then you had a good break.
Nice.
And Reasons as well. It's a little bit different. It's not your typical. Well, it's not a web conference. It's not aimed at web designers or developers. It's aimed at people sort of working in the creative, whatever that word means these days, sort of industries.
Right.
So you had everything from illustrators to web developers and designers. But the only reason I'd say that one won for me by a cat's whisker was there were a couple of evening sessions that the sort of main day finished and you went off, you had some food, came back, got a free beer, which you could take into the auditorium. And they had these kind of evening inspirational sessions. And Eric Speakerman, who I've obviously read his work and seen him speak and stuff on, video online, and obviously works with Elliot on Eight Faces and that kind of stuff. But I'd never actually seen him talk in person. And his talk was... There was a whole bunch of takeaways in there, but the guy is just hilarious. I didn't realize how funny the Eric is. He was doing Birmingham accents.
I've seen him interviewed by Elliot, and he's quite a funny guy in that interview, I think.
Yeah, so that was just a bit kind of unexpected, but a lot of fun. So for me, if it had to be one, it would be Reasons, but I would like to say Reasons and Beyond Telerand.
Okay, well, I'll let you have that.
Oh, you're very kind.
Only
very
one. Kind.
Okay. Anyway, I haven't got any other joint honours, so it's only that one.
Good.
But moving on, side project of the year now.
Side project of the year. How are you defining a side project?
Well, it's a good question, isn't it? Some people call them passion projects.
Passion project. Right.
Have you got any passion projects, Kieran?
No, not at the moment.
No. I guess it's something that's not your main source of income.
Yes, and might not even be a business.
Often side projects do turn into that, but I've gone, if I may go first on this occasion, I've gone with QuickCast, which is a screencasting tool. I think it's Mac only. I'll stand corrected. I should know, but I have a Mac and it works for me. By the guys at Mixture, which allows you to do sort of maximum three minute videos. And I know the guys, as do you, and they put this together in a couple of weeks, and they demoed it at the comp shop, or they talked about it. at least. And that was back in June, I think, or July. Mm-hmm. And yeah. A couple of weeks later, it was out there in the wild and people are using it. And
it's very cool. It's very quick to be able to demonstrate something to somebody, especially a client or yeah. another member of your team. If you're working in a team and you're distributed, it's really good. It just says here that it's available for Mac, obviously, but then it's going to be a Windows 7 soon, coming soon.
Oh, coming soon. It's a classic.
Windows 7 Plus, coming soon.
Ah, very good. I'm sure they're just waiting on Pete, you know, to get his finger out probably, and develop that. But no, actually, Neil's the Windows guy, isn't he? Yeah, waiting on Neil.
They both do a bit of both, don't they?
Bit of anyway. Ambicodestrous. But yeah, so that was for me, quickcast.io.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, go check it out because that gets my vote. What about you? Oh, this, it's the P word again.
Yet again, I've gone for, this is literally a passion project, but yet again, I've gone for something that isn't tech related.
Now, we talked about this, Kieran.
We did.
We've had to hone it back to relatively web and tech focus, but I guess this one passes for the simple reason that it is a website.
And also because Jace Cook, who is the genius behind the said product, which is cabinporn.com.
Cabinporn.com.
He works for Giphy.
Oh, okay. So by association you can have this?
By association, he's part of the tech industry. What does it say on his bio? It's something like, works on the web, lives in the woods.
I like it. That's a dream for you, isn't it?
Living the dream. Living the dream.
If only there are woods in Wells.
Well, there are loads of woods in Wells.
So why do you live in a house?
Well, because it's not legal to live in the woods, is it?
Okay.
Anyway, cabinporn.com for all your gorgeous cabin in the woods picture needs and woodsman fetishes.
I do like their shop. There's stuff in there that I never knew existed and never knew I wanted, but the plastic was twitching. I was almost intent on buying all sorts. I reined myself back in.
There's a couple of nice things in there, particularly the book called Rock the Shack, which is on my Christmas list, everyone.
Rock the Shack. Oh, no, I did see that.
I think we talked about it before.
Has Katie ordered it for you? Or?
Don't know. I have to wait till Christmas morning to find out.
I have to wait and see what the big man in the red suit brings you. Fair enough. Yeah, no, that's... I think that fits perfectly, actually. It's a great site. And, for someone who's not big on cabin porn... I did find myself paging through it quite avidly. Yep. So
There's a lot of pages to page through.
It gets the vote from me. But so that's quickcast.io and cabinporn.com. Yeah, good choice. Good choice. Now.
Again.
Yeah. Podcast of the year.
Yes.
Now, this was tricky for you because apart from listening to yourself...
I don't listen to any tech podcasts.
You don't listen to any tech podcasts?
Yeah. I'm not very good at this, am I, hosting a tech podcast?
No. This was one of the risks involved in starting this side project of ours.
Yes.
But I think we should actually commend ourselves. We've actually almost stuck to our guns and almost managed to do it twice weekly. Frequently changed byline of a podcast.
Yes.
Biweekly, almost biweekly, monthly, weekly.
Sometimes,
occasionally.
It's not when we can be bothered, it's when we have time.
This is true. Real life, as with most things, does get in the way. But so in the respect to podcast of the year, what did you choose?
I went for Monocle 24, which I'm sure you'll...
Very highbrow, Kieran.
Yes, you'll be proud of me for that.
I know nothing of this monocle.
Tyler Brûlé is your favourite man in the world. But I went
for
the men.
Well, that's not true, as we'll find out later.
Oh, that's... man of the year. Monocle 24, The Menu.
Right.
Which is their food and drink show. And isn't actually recorded that often. I think they're only up to sort of episode 11 or 12.
Yeah, some of them are. Obviously, they have a very strict... now, is it... In the UK, do we say schedule or schedule?
Schedule.
I never know. The Stack, the magazine one, which I listen to, and The Entrepreneurs. But yeah, The Menu's not that regular, is it?
No, what I quite like about it, though, is that it's, it's not the usual fare, let's use the pun. It's not the usual sort of like the stuff you might get in a British foodie magazine or a British foodie TV show. It's a bit different.
Yeah, there's a lot of magazines that kind of fit into that mold now. Have you seen The Gourmand? You'd like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You should check that out. You can read that while sitting in your wood cabin, illegally in Wells. Without planning permission, you get moved on. There'll be protests and letters and things on telegraph poles.
Then with the local paper getting onto you, then you're in real trouble.
You know, that'll be people throwing things at your window. But yeah, Monocle 24, the menu. Good one. Good choice. Yeah. Good
choice. How about you?
I only listen to a handful of podcasts, just really through time. A couple of the Monocle ones, a couple of tech/web-related ones. But I've gone for the Freelance Web as my podcast of the year, because that's one of the ones I consistently listen to, which is hosted by Sean and Liz, Sean Johnson and Liz Elcott. But I don't even freelance, so I'm not really sure why I enjoy it so much. But it's not.
That's interesting. So what's the content like? What's the content that, you know, grabs you? Is it just the business plus web thing, or?
I think it is. I think it's they're just talking through kind of problems and dilemmas that they have, and it's just really freelance, small agency. I mean, it's all applicable. People working in the industry, and like recently, Sean's been having real problems deciding whether to be a generalist or a specialist, and it's just quite interesting because it's very much like listening to someone who you'll be sitting next to in the bar, which I have done with Sean on many occasions. And you know, you sort of empathise, and you know, the next week he's gone back on the idea of specialising, and it's just quite interesting. And as well as that, there's a lot of things on pricing and you know, other sort of trials and tribulations of working for yourself, which obviously both of us have done in the past. So you can you know, on the one hand, you listen, you think, oh yeah, freelancing was great, and on the other hand, you think, oh, actually, I'm quite happy that I don't have to go out and source all this work and stuff. So
exactly.
And they've kind of beaten us in terms of regularity. They started later, they've done more episodes, but you know, it's okay.
Wow.
But it's a good listen.
I think we're probably more free form. At least they stick to their subject matter.
Well, we've tried, but by episode two, that kind of failed. But Sean and Liz, Freelance Web, they get my vote for Podcast of the Year.
Great.
But hopefully, do you think we'll be nominated for Podcast of the Year in the Net Awards? Anyone listening would like to nominate us? Apparently you can nominate yourself, but that feels a bit wrong.
It does feel very wrong, yeah. I don't think we'll get to that sort of debacle.
There are some. I met Dan from Function at Handheld. He listens.
But does he?
Yeah, I met a couple of other listeners. So one guy kind of came up to the stand, started talking to me, looked at me kind of strange, and I thought, oh god, some kind of blemish. But he said, "I recognise your voice." Another listener. I was like, wow, that's three.
Nice.
It's all good. But
three listeners.
I said I'd say hello to Dan. So hello.
Nice.
Yes, but there we go. Freelance Web. Check it out. I think it's thefreelanceweb.com.
So moving on to your fetish subject, magazines.
I do have a thing for them, in inverted commas.
Objects
of
desire, Keir Whittaker's, would be magazines, yes?
Probably, yes.
What have you gone for?
Well, it's the only one I read regularly and subscribe to, which is Monocle, which I unashamedly say, just because I like the breadth of content. And, you know, it's getting bigger and bulkier and more supplements, which really appeals. It's something I look forward to coming through the letterbox. Actually, it rarely fits, but there you go.
Mm.
It normally gets deposited in the recycle box outside the door. I can see why people don't like it, but I've always really, really enjoyed it. And I think the breadth of content's increasing.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that they mix the printed magazine. It's still the primary sort of focus, but then they have things like the podcast and regular sort of video features on the website and that kind of thing. So, yeah, everything from transport through to design, through to business, through to, you know, opinion, through to very expensive scarves and socks and all that kind of stuff.
You see, I'm very torn with Monocle.
You tear your Monocle?
I don't buy it regularly, but I have picked it up, you know, occasionally when especially when I've been in an airport or something, or
as you do,
or where you've said to me there's a great feature on travel or whatever it might be. I pick it up, and I definitely like the breadth of content, like you say, but I'm definitely in the boat of like, it's not all for me.
Oh, no, of course not.
So I sort of I think picking and choosing they have, you know, a subject matter that the magazine's about, don't they? So whether it's travel or whether it's
they kind of have
top 100 cities to live in or whatever.
Yeah, they have top level feature. So yes. Say the travel top 50 or something like that. Or
so I tend to buy based on that top level feature.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I like everything they produce is wonderful quality.
Yeah, I mean, the design's really interesting. It hasn't. It's interesting looking back at the first few issues, which were I think 2006 now, mm-hmm. and seeing how the development has been very, very subtle,
right?
In terms of the way that the brand's grown and sort of the sections have got bigger and that kind of stuff. And but yeah, they've sort of nailed, in my opinion, that kind of regular thing every year. So they'll have sort of four or five supplements over the year, and they do the newspapers and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's just, I say, I don't really buy business magazines. I don't really buy travel magazines. This is kind of the only thing I buy. So it's a good, I mean, of a particular ilk, of course. It's not, your rough guide to Europe, backpacking around the world. Most of it I can't afford. But it's a good mix for me.
There's a wonderful... there's a wonderful quote by Jeffrey Zeldman. I'm trying to remember it now, but it's basically about what good web design is, or what good web design should be. And there's a piece in there that said it should reflect human activity and adapt gracefully over time, something like that.
Right.
I just thought about Monocle when you said that, because you can see that if you look at the evolution of the BBC's website, for example, how they've slowly shifted it every couple of months. They don't tend to do big redesigns. I mean, they did a huge redesign in 2010, I think, but before that, it was all very incremental, very slow, and very purposeful. And, you know, Monocle strikes me as the same.
Yeah, certainly in terms of their web presence, they had a big refresh, and I guess you call it a redesign, really, this year, or maybe late mm-hmm. last year. Where they integrated all the radio stuff as well. And, they just seem to be growing and doing more stuff. I mean, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I just found that quote. Web design is the creation of digital environments that facilitate and encourage human activity, reflect or adapt to individual voices and content, and change gracefully over time while always retaining their identity.
Wow.
Jeffrey Zeldman.
You found that quick? Or have you got it tattooed on your arm? Or?
No, I found it in some notes.
Oh, notes? What, on paper?
No, in Evernote.
Mm, very good. Very efficient, very efficient. What about you anyway, Magazine of the Year?
Magazine of the Year. Now, this feels a bit odd.
Mm.
A bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, you should be.
Digest. It's my Magazine of the Year.
The one that you contributed to.
My favourite article happens to be the film. No. I genuinely do. This is my favorite magazine of the year. The content, all of the content in it, which is unusual for me, I was really interested in. I thought it was beautifully put together, beautiful illustrations, beautiful photography, and the content just really hit the nail on the head. For someone like me who's into sort of creative industries, who's into not just the technical side of the web, but into business and all those things around it, I really liked it.
Well, I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very glad. It was an interesting project.
That, I felt like I didn't really want to put it up for this, but I thought, you know, why should I pretend otherwise?
Well, no, that's good. Readdigest.com for anyone who's interested. there's good news on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, be back next year with two issues. We've got a lot of ideas. So
nice.
Time, as so always,
biannual.
Biannual, yeah, and keeping it big, keeping it
physically big.
Physically big. We may be up the page count. You never know. There's a few ideas there. So
go big or go home. Yeah.
Go big or go home. Yeah. Have that on a coffee mug before end of January. But nice. That's very kind. I'm glad.
It's quite all right.
Just to qualify, you have bought other magazines during the year?
Oh yes, yes.
Oh good. Okay. Fine. Certainly. Fine. Good. Okay. Let's not
book of the year.
Yes, book of the year. Well, I went for something again, not techie, but it's design related.
Right.
Design related. I've always had a thing for the London Underground. Mm-hmm. Not really sure why.
When you say a thing,
well, I've always been fascinated by it. And actually, undergrounds in general, but that's probably not something we should talk too long or hard about. But particularly the London Underground, always from when I was very young. I think it was just, well, I'm not really sure. I've always been intrigued by undergrounds and sort of the design around them specifically, and sort of maps and underground maps and all that kind of thing, and railway maps and train maps. I'm not the guy at the end of the platform with the notebook who's got, like, you know, a platform ticket taking down numbers. I'm not that guy. But I do like signs and signage and maps and sort of branding and all that kind of stuff. The London Underground just sort of epitomizes that. And obviously, you know, there's been a lot written about sort of the logo and how that branding has I think they call it a rondel. I always call it a rondel. It's sort of permeated through the whole of London transport now. And you saw that change. You know, I lived there for many, many years, and you saw how that sort of went from just being the tube to the buses and the DLR and all that kind of stuff. But there's a guy called Mark Ovendon who's done a few books on transit maps for those really geeky people out there. Definitely check them out. So Railway Maps of the World, volumes 1 to 52 or something. I have them all. But he did a book this year, which gets my vote, which is called London Underground by Design. Mm-hmm. And it's literally a book devoted to the design, all the design elements, from architecture to stationery to seat covers to trains to platform stations and clocks of the London Underground. It's a weighty tome. I've just got it here. Let's have a look. How many pages are we?
I was flipping through the pages on Look Inside on Amazon. It's beautifully designed.
Yeah, it's about 300 pages, and it's just fascinating. There's a lot of text in here, and it almost feels like I haven't done it justice because I haven't found the time to actually sort of read it cover to cover. But it doesn't feel like the kind of book that you read cover to cover. You can dive in, read some of the side notes that accompany the photos. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're into sort of branding and design and transport, then that's the book for you.
Do you have a favourite underground?
What, in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Ever? Mm-hmm. Probably London, just because it's familiar, I guess.
Yeah.
There are the ones like in Prague, which are just so fast and so clean. You know, the Russians came in and built them, and some of the, the stations are so ornate. And there's ones, I'd love to go on one like in Tokyo, never been, but apparently they have their own unique jingles. Mm-hmm. So each different station can be identified by its own jingle before an announcement, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, they're mostly quite similar these days. New York one's always interesting.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. Cool. But yeah, London Underground by Design on Penguin Books by Mark Ovendon. What about you? Nice.
Mine is more tech-related, actually, for once, for me.
Fair enough.
This is a book called On Demand Culture by Chuck Tryon.
Now, I've got to say, before you carry on, that is possibly the best name for an author.
You actually know Chuck, on Twitter.
Tryon,
yeah, he's a professor in film and media.
Should we not address him properly then? Should he
as
not
professor
be
Chuck Tryon? Yes, you should probably.
I think so.
And he has written a book about how our culture has shifted from a prescriptive culture where tastemakers tell us what to watch towards not just watch but listen to and all that stuff. And what to consume, I should say, to a culture where we choose from a sort of almost limitless menu.
Oh, interesting. I mean, we've had conversations like this before with the advent of things like Netflix and Apple TV and being able to sort of AirPlay stuff from your phone to your Apple TV. How, just speaking personally, how my viewing has changed. I almost feel a little bit overwhelmed, though, in as much as so much choice that, you know, what... You know, 57 channels and nothing on, or whatever the song was. But does he touch on things like that about how kind of, you know, the oft used phrase choice paralysis is affecting our consumption? Or
yeah, he does. I think he focuses on sort of the business model side of things more than the consumer side of things. There's a lot of stuff about how Hollywood are shifting their business model to encompass this, and how they're harnessing crowdsourcing, and touches on stuff like crowdfunding and all those things, and a lot about cable cutting. You know, this notion that we're abandoning our Sky package or our cable package or our Freeview, And we're just using on-demand services like Apple TV and Roku and all these different boxes that you can now buy to put under your TV, but also in the theatrical space as well. So things like demanding things come to your local cinema. He touches on that as well.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Do you
Yeah.
think it feels a bit like the Wild West though at the moment in terms of under TV boxes? I think now you're seeing more and more of them advertised on mainstream television, that you could end up with some kind of massive SCART adapter and sort of five or six of these boxes underneath. Do you think we're going to get to the point where one wins out? I mean, you work in this area, just out of
Yeah, I mean,
curiosity.
I think that what's going to end up happening is that, in the same way as games consoles have gone, and in fact, if we want to start talking about convergence and stuff, all this stuff's crossing over. So, there's graphics accelerators going into all these boxes. People like the guys at Steam, Valve
Oh yeah, we
Software
talked
are
about them,
moving,
didn't
yeah, moving into this space. So all these things are crossing over. But I think that the same sort of thing is going to happen as with the game console world, where, you almost like either you're one of these people that has everything, and you do have one of those multi-SCART adapters under your TV, and you're so into the world of games that you have to own a PS4 and an Xbox One and a PS1 and all these different generations of devices because you want to play games on various different things.
Right.
Or you're going to end up where you sort of draw your colors, as it were, where you pick your tribe and you are an Apple person or you are a Roku person or you are a Steam person.
Right,
Uh,
okay.
and I think it will be that, in the same way as people have got Mac or PC,
Interesting.
because, again, as you say, I work in this space, and I think that what's going to happen is that really these platforms are going to open up more and more. And so if you're a Netflix subscriber, you'll be able to get Netflix on any of these boxes.
Yeah,
Or
exactly.
if you're a Hulu subscriber, that you'll be able to get them on any of those boxes. So I guess it's a thing about, it'll become more and more about just which menu system do you prefer, which interaction do you prefer?
I think harking back to sort of the glory days of video cassettes when certainly in the UK we had the kind of Betamax v VHS, and a lot of people used to say Betamax was technologically more advanced, it was
Oh, it
better
was, yeah.
quality, but VHS won out, and I'm not really sure why. But do you see a case where some maybe the best tech won't win out? Does he talk about that kind of stuff
I
or?
think with the VHX versus Betamax thing, it was about the hardware, about the technology, and the deal that was done with the studios about which format they use.
Oh, okay.
So it was more about deals done behind the scenes than it was, so what was available on VHS was so much more. There was so much more content available that people didn't, even though Betamax was technologically more advanced, they went with that instead. Sorry, you were asking me if I still see the same thing with these boxes. I'm not sure because technically they're all pretty similar
Right.
in terms of what they offer. Some of them go more down the DVR type route where they've got a hard disk inside them and they allow you to record stuff and they allow you to store stuff on them. And some of them describe themselves as purely streaming boxes and they've only got a little bit of flash memory inside them.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
So I think you might have a divide there where some people want an archive of 500 films and they have to have a huge hard disk sitting underneath their TV. But I think increasingly, unless you want to, unless you're specifically concerned about owning the film, which I think less and less people are, then it's just going to be either I own it and it's in the cloud and I stream it via iTunes, or or I'm paying for a streaming service and I never really own it. I just am allowed to stream as many times as I want.
Yeah, I mean that's a whole sort of shift, paradigm shift in ownership, isn't it, in recent years? But
Yes.
cool. So
Yeah. Anyway, so
on-demand
that's
culture
on-demand culture.
by Professor Chuck Tryon.
Indeed.
Cool. Now we're getting into the interesting ones, I think. This
Yeah,
is
we'll see.
uncharted territory. I don't think this next award has been seen on any other award list ever.
No, the BAFTAs does not include this award.
Which is the blogger who you wished blogged more of the year.
Yes.
And we both agreed on this.
It's a unanimous decision
Is
by
a
the
unanimous
judges.
by the judges. And do you want to announce it?
Yes, it is your friend of mine, Mr. Daniel Howells, Esquire.
Daniel Howes. Yeah. Brilliant. Love reading his blog
Everything he
posts.
writes.
Agree with most of it, and yeah, very insightful, well written. But he just doesn't blog enough.
No.
I don't know what his excuse is.
Busy man.
He's a busy man. He's a man of many projects. Many, many projects. Site Inspire probably been the most well-known one.
And regular.
And regular, yeah. That's constantly updated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does some great stuff. He's just one of those guys who, not quietly, but he's not, you know, he's on it, isn't he? But he just doesn't blog enough.
He's a man who reads a lot.
Yeah, well-read, well-cultured.
Mm-hmm.
Well-travelled, knows a cocktail, just doesn't blog enough. Well, I mean, it's our only criticism.
It is.
So we are rewarding.
It's a sort of backhanded award.
It is. Daniel, if you're listening, please blog some more. We enjoy it. Moving on. right. Again,
this is your award. This was hit out of the mind of Keir Whittaker.
I contest that. I think this was your award. mine's the next one. So this is the award for Hipster Website of the Year, otherwise known as the Mustache Wax Award for Web Ingenuity.
Yes.
Why don't you kick this one off? Well, and explain why. Explain your rationale.
Sure. My Hipster Website of the Year has to be Giphy.
Giphy or Jiffy, if
Giphy, depending on that doesn't sound right. So Giphy...
I'm a GIF man, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I'm a GIF man. I'm sorry, I don't care how it's meant to be pronounced, it's GIF. Anyway, so Giphy is the GIF search engine.
Brilliant. We've talked about it.
We have talked about it on the show. And I'm actually quite a regular user.
Was that Bear GIF you sent me from there, or?
No, that was discovered elsewhere.
So you have a different source for Bear GIFs.
Bear Apocalypse, yeah. A separate source. Such things.
Oh,
but I think that it has to get the award for the most hipster website just purely because the overwhelming trend in reaction GIFs.
Yes. Yeah.
And Giphy even provides you with a whole category of reaction GIFs. GIFs?
Right. So you could, like, if you're
shocked, if I wanted to roll my eyes at you, I could click on the eye roll section and get 321 GIFs of people rolling their eyes.
You've just done that, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah,
wow. I mean, I'm just behind the times. I'm just behind the times. I don't send people animated GIFs anymore. Actually, I don't think I ever have.
No.
No, I've been the recipient of many, but clearly I'm just not buying into it. Maybe 2014, the year I catch up.
Moustache wax and Giphy.
Just generally catch up. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that it's not my favourite website of the year, but it's certainly the most hipster website that I've come across.
But this is by your man from Cabin Porn.
Yes, yes. So there's a crossover there as well.
Crossover. You're buying into the whole realm of applications.
It's good.
Despite you alleging that I came up with this category.
Yes, you did.
I've struggled.
Really?
Well, a little bit. But... It is a hipster. I mean, there's no denying that my choice is a hipster website. But it's a very, very beautiful hipster website. And it's on Shopify. So, you know, it's a doubly great hipster website, but it's Best Made Co. I think if you are a hipster, this is the place that you have to go and buy your kit, really.
Can I buy a red or orange beanie from Best Made Co?
Beanies are available. I'd have to double check on the colours. But your axe sharpening, your mustache wax, you know, sort of tight jeans with big boots and a sort of woolly kind of double-breasted cardigan, all that.
Oh, it's a lovely jumper with some patches on the elbows. For our American listeners, that is a sweatshirt, not a little dress that a girl wears.
What did you call it?
A jumper.
Is that what Americans call little dresses?
So you know those sort of like candy striper dresses that little girls wear to parties.
You're showing a knowledge that I didn't realise you had.
that's what Americans call jumpers.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you clarified. I mean, they do have like sew-on badges. They've got felt backpack badges.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, it's all really nice courage. Stuff.
There you $75 go. For a knitted beanie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, they're, honestly, I'm not joking. There's some lovely stuff in here. There's, oh, what's this? This is for you. The Little Book of Log Cabins for $6.95 US dollars.
Where?
Yeah, that's ordered.
Buying it now.
They've got all sorts of, I mean, it goes on for miles. What else have we got? One more. Let's have a look in bags and cases. Now, this is particularly nicely laid out and designed page, I must say. They've got the wax canvas travel zip case. I covet that. That is very nice. But yeah, for $110, the duck canvas axe case.
Ooh, an axe case.
That is pretty special.
I don't actually have anywhere to keep my axe at the moment.
Really? That's not a sarcastic comment.
I actually don't have anywhere to keep my axe at the moment.
So you have an axe, but you don't have an axe case. Would you just leave it lying around?
I have a number of axes.
Is it sheathed, as it were? So it's just...
It's just available for any small child to play with.
Well, on that bombshell, it's very clickable, this website. There is stuff here that you never knew you needed, like a burger 13-inch.
Than two men browsing a website in silence.
It's what we do so well on this podcast. The $75 will get you the burger 13-inch German buck saw.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, and I believe they're based in Brooklyn. So it fulfills all...
I think you've actually blown Giphy out of the water here.
I don't know. I mean, where is it? No, sorry. I take the Brooklyn connection back. They're actually in Manhattan. I was going to say
they're actually Williamsburg.
Yeah, actually Williamsburg. No, they are. They're in. Where are they? A stone's throw from Soho, Nolita, Little Italy, Chinatown, and Wall Street, which is pretty much anywhere in Manhattan. But
that's the whole Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh, they're in Tribeca. You probably stayed in it right next door to them, 36 White Street. But honestly, all joking aside, it does. It is quite hipster, but it is a beautiful site, and their products look great. So again, it's a compliment. Please take it as such.
Yes.
But anyway, on with the show. Indeed. This one.
This is pretty much, I mean, you know, never mind Man of the Year or Trend of the Year. This is the pinnacle.
It is the pinnacle. It's the, where are we? Here it is. Dog-related tech product of the year.
Yes, yes. I know that you've all been waiting for this.
We've had a few over the course of our 18 previous episodes, but the one that stood out for me, I have to be honest, was Pack Love. I think it's now known as Pack, is it? Or just Love?
It's just called Pack.
Which is kind of Facebook for dogs. Is that fair?
It's not quite Facebook for dogs, no.
I don't know. Your dog has got more friends on Pack than I've got on Facebook.
That's probably true, yeah.
Are these people he went to school with or like, you know...
Whistler went to
brothers,
school with.
Brothers he, you know, separated at birth? What happened? No, how does he know all these people?
He doesn't
people,
know any
people, dogs. What am I talking about?
This isn't about actually knowing them, Keir. They're his fans. They follow him.
Oh, I see. It's more of the Twitter model, not the Facebook model. I apologize.
Of course, yeah. Owners have collections of pets, and then you can like pets. So Whistler sadly only has one person tracking him.
Really?
Nancy Casey, who happens to also own Gracie Doodle.
Gracie Doodle. Nice.
Yeah. Who is different from Ralphie Doodle, who is probably the most famous doodle on the internet.
How come?
Well, he's got a ridiculous amount of followers on Instagram.
Right.
So I think that was a very good choice, packlove.com.
Yeah, go check it out. If you, I forget which episode we talked about it, at length.
Yes.
But
especially if you've lost all grip on reality.
Yeah, but what about you? What did you pick?
I actually picked a more, a more useful product, which is really fair to Pack. But you know, it's Whistle.
Whistle.
So this is Fitbit for dogs, basically. That would be the elevator pitch.
I remember this website.
I picked it because I think actually it's beautifully designed product. First of all,
they've got one of those websites where you scroll and it shows pictures, and I kind of get all very kind of seasick scrolling.
It's not quite a scroll hijack, though, is it? It's just...
Oh, no. But they do have some disruptor icons, some media icons there.
So anyway, I think that it's very well designed. It's a really nice product. And it's actually, you know, as a dog owner, it's something that that I would use if I had the money to pay for such a thing.
Wow. I just love the fact that you've got the tech specs on the homepage there. It's waterproof, shockproof, and ruggedized. It's only 16 grams, the whistle activity monitor.
And also, you know, their video is lovely.
It is. It is. Whistle.com. That's a good domain to get.
I know. It must cost them a bit, I think.
Do you reckon that's where the investment went?
Probably, yeah.
Whistle Labs. Let's have a look. Where are they? Where are they based? Oh, it's a big team. I think we discussed this before.
Yeah, we discussed this before, yeah.
He's a big team. And there's not that many...
But I genuinely think they're producing an interesting product. I think that, you know, a lot of people care about their dog's health.
Well, as you should.
Yes.
As you should. No, they've got a good team page, /company.
Yes. In fact, I think it might have changed a little bit, their team page. I think it used to... Oh, no, they've still got the group photo.
They've still got the group photo.
But with a very chunky Springer Spaniel. Or
really?
Might be a Cocker. No, it's a Springer.
You know way more about dogs than me.
Yeah.
Way more.
Oh, yes.
Here's the investors. Oh, they've got quite a bit of investment. That's good. Very nice.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so there you go. Whistle.com. If you have a dog who's a bit slothy and with Christmas coming, this is a good way to monitor their activity.
Actually, I think it's dropped in price.
Really? Is it not selling?
I had in my head it was $200, and it's then $99.95.
That's almost Christmas list material.
It is, yeah. That's not actually that bad. I'm surprised about that. Anyway, and you can add engraving for only $20, so this could act as your dog's identity as well, collar.
What, two products in one?
Yeah,
exactly. I love it.
So that's Whistle.
There we go. Cool. Okay. Right, Team of the Year.
Pressing on as time is getting on.
Time is getting on. Team of the Year. We both, funnily enough, both agreed on this.
Yes. Why don't you introduce the Team of the Year?
Insert drum roll here. It's Team Mixture. At Team Mixture on the Twitter.
Nobody deserves it more.
Nobody deserves it more. Neil and Pete, who have Beyond Mixture, which have we got anything of the year for that? I don't know. No, we haven't. So my... The app of the year, I guess, desktop app of the year mixture. If we had that category, it would certainly win. But they've just, obviously we know them both and have worked with them in some capacities. But they just seem to be churning out great ideas at a rate of knots and iterating. And, mixture's gone from strength to strength. I think I first saw one of the betas maybe last November, so over a year ago now, and just to see how much it's come on they've actually got a payment system in place now, and people are buying it and subscribing. It's just great to see, but also beyond the fact that they're very, very talented and nice people, which is always a good combination, the standard of the stuff they produce is just really high. Quickcast and Pop, and they've got another product coming soon that's going to be really useful for developers, so sort of developer tools, all that kind of stuff. It's and it's not it's hard to do this kind of stuff. It's hard to
it's very hard
to make it to pay your bills and to feed your families and that kind of doing this kind of speculative development stuff, so
especially when you're a distributed team as well, when you're isolated, to actually continue to work together and to collaborate and to produce such high quality products is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think Neil gets out of the garage maybe once a month, maybe twice, something like that.
If that.
And Pete, every time I see him, the beard's got longer and longer and longer, and he's lost all grip. But he's still coding like a trooper, and they're doing great stuff. So we both agreed on that. Team of the Year, Team Mixture.
Team Mixture. Congratulations.
Yeah. If we had a prize to give you, we would be winging it round and having that sort of classic cliched photo of posing together with some kind of cheap trophy. But we'll buy you a drink.
Some sponsors behind.
With some sponsors, yeah, exactly. cool. Right. So how many left? Four.
And we've suddenly found ourselves at the biggies.
At the biggies. This is the stage of the evening where the big hitters are getting nervous. The camera's rolling to them and they're sort of smiling.
Well, fidgeting. They're reaching to make sure that their speech is still in their breast pocket.
Yeah, and they're sort of leaning over quietly and sort of whispering in their colleague's ear and that kind of stuff. And with this point of the night where if there were four nominees, they'd all appear in a square.
Yes.
And the one person who couldn't be there would have some kind of promo shot and the other people would be sat at the tables and that kind of thing.
Fidgeting.
Fidgeting. And trying to keep the face that I'm so disappointed I didn't win. I really want to swear and storm out, but I'm going to smile.
But I'm really pleased for this person.
Yeah, it's all I ever wanted for my main rival in life to win this illustrious award.
Yes, but we don't have any nominees, so we can't do the nominee thing.
We can't do the nominee thing.
Different winners, because as usual, we couldn't agree.
Well, it was never the aim to agree. The fact that we have on some is pure coincidence, surely.
Yes, yes.
Man of the Year. Male of the Year, we almost called it, but no, Man of the Year. you go first. Who did you pick and why?
Okay, so I picked Harry Roberts.
Mr. CSS Wizardry.
CSS Wizardry himself. I think that I've been very impressed with how Harry had gone it alone after working for a big corporate, and also just how he's then publicised himself, or not publicised himself, but how he's pitched himself.
Yeah, he's so he was at Sky for many years. He's I think two, three, four years maybe, and you know, he's in his early 20s, but it's been putting great articles and you know, on CSS out for a very long time. Really knows his stuff. But as you say, he announced middle of this year that he was leaving Sky, and he had his sort of gardening leave to work out, didn't he, or sort of whatever. And yeah, he set himself up as well. How does he bill himself?
He bills himself as a consultant front-end architect, which, you know, and this alone I was impressed by, because this isn't a job I've come across before, but I quite liked how he presents that, about how he can work with a team to on a big project to show to tell you how to do something and not necessarily just sit there and tack the code himself.
Yeah, I agree. I think what he's done in his pitch, which you can find on his site, he's really set up a kind of framework for hiring him, so you absolutely know what you're going to get if you engage Harry to come and work with you. You're not going to get someone who's going to come to your office and sit down and do all your CSS.
No,
you're going to get someone who's worked on big products, a sort of big organization, big websites, that kind of stuff, who understands. You've only got to read his blog that he has a methodology and he has knowledge, and you might not all agree with it, but he certainly knows what he's talking about. And I think his years of blogging have shown that. And more recently, his talks and stuff. And yeah, you're not going to get someone who's going to necessarily dive bomb him and fix problems. So he's almost backed himself into a corner in one respect. But by the same token, he's got a market. And if you're in the market for someone to come in and help you on specific things for a period of time, he's your man, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he is. And I think he's produced this framework, but still left himself very open to suggestion as well.
Yeah.
You know, so there's things here about, you know, if you've got an idea you'd like to work with me, just, you know, just drop me an email, like, you know, we'll talk about it. And he's sort of broken his working world, so to speak, is down into that sort of architecture role, the consultancy role, code reviews, and then the speaking role. So you can obviously book him to speak, or you can book him for a code review for the printing sum of £750 plus VAT, or you can involve him in a more integrated way into your project and have him come in as a consultant.
I mean, I think, you know, that's brilliant. You know, 750 quid to get someone like Harry along to spend. I mean, I guess, you know, a code review is not a short endeavor.
No, it's not.
And some will last longer than others, for sure. But yeah, and he's, you know, cliche. He's such a nice guy, but he is. He's really fun to hang around with, and really knows his stuff. And good choice.
And some great pull quotes there as well, like people, you know, people testimonials and stuff, stuff from Andy Clark.
I can't call him Andrew. I know he's Andrew, but I can't call him Andrew.
Yeah, anymore. It's different. The guys at FT Labs, really nice little quote from them, and then someone saying that they sliced 1.5 seconds off PhotoSugar's page load time using Harry's knowledge. So some nice stuff.
That's brilliant. That's good on him. I look forward to catching up with you, Harry, if you're listening, and seeing how you're getting on.
Yeah.
So again, Man of the Year. How do you pick one person out of so many?
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, but I went with someone who I've got to know a little better over the last few months. And he's one of those people that I kind of like. I was about to say, he's one of those people who's like kept putting stuff out and thinking, oh, you annoy me by the fact that you just do so much. You've got two kids. How the hell do you do it? But this year, I think Josh Long is my winner. And I think primarily because he has just kept putting good stuff out there all year long.
He really has. Prolific is the word.
And he's you know, he's not abating, you know, it's carrying on. You know, from the Execute book through to a book with Five Simple Steps, one of their pocket guides, to another ebook that he did, through to managing to do a podcast every week with
Happy Monday.
It's far too happy. I'm a grumpy English person, so, you know, I had to take that. I have to sort of be in the right frame for Happy Mondays, but anyways. But yeah, through to, you know, working with The Great Discontent, organizing a load of stuff at Book and Beta, and most recently his own kind of design focused school called Patterns. I, you know, and always seemingly being upbeat. I mean, that's, you know, again, alien to an English person, but just, yeah, I just think I wouldn't even sort of call it prolific. I just think that's what he is. That's what he does. And, you know, it's
2013. He certainly produced a lot.
Yeah. And, but most of all, if I could single out one thing, it's the dedication to podcasting. The fact that he built his own soundproofed booth in his office, within the office, like a man shed within the office, but purely for podcasting.
Nice.
That to me probably tipped the balance. To make him man of the year.
For building a booth.
For building a booth, yeah. From one booth boy to another. Well done. But there we go. Yeah. So Josh gets it for me, just for the amount of output and quality output and, you know, fingers in pies and just sort of carrying on regardless and just doing his thing, doing it well.
Mm-hmm. And I should also, Harry, there's the sheer amount of knowledge that he contributes to the community as well.
Yeah, he...
Yeah, let's not forget that.
He's always, you know, he writes really well and, you know, yeah, just great. Contributes a lot.
Yes.
Okay, so three to go. And the next one, following on from Man of the Year.
Woman of the Year.
Yeah. Well, what did you go for? What? Sorry. Who? Did you go for?
This is a decision based upon my recent experience of teaching students.
Uh-huh.
So this isn't so much about what this person did during 2013 as it is about her overall body of work and how inspiring she is to students. When I show this person's work to students, their eyes light up and they're excited by it and they're interested by it and they're already Googling her and looking at her stuff on the screen while I'm talking. So this is Jessica Hish.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Miss Hish. And particularly her work with Wes Anderson.
Okay.
So that really sort of, like, I think captures the imagination of the students has really, like, the Moonrise Kingdom poster is what's, you know, really draws them in, and then they go to the rest of her work and they really seem to sort of come alive when they were looking at it. And I think also I think this is the difference when I'm talking to students about people who believe, you know, seeing someone they believe they could be like.
Right, okay, yeah, no, it does, absolutely.
So it's very hard to look at somebody who's maybe chief creative officer of a big corporate or a big startup or whatever it might be. But in some ways, it's very easy to look at Jessica's work. And it's not saying that she's got there easily, but it's very easy to look at her work and think, you know, I could get there. You know, I could carve this niche for myself.
Yeah, she's definitely carved a niche over the last few years, hasn't she? When you've got to read through her site and chat with her, that, you know, I, all joking aside, had never really heard the term, and maybe it's because I'm not in that world of sort of letterer. And you see that more and more now, and that's some, you know, a way that she sort of describes herself. But yeah, she's, I mean, obviously the quality of her work is fantastic, and, you know, a lot to, she publishes some really interesting blog posts and that kind of stuff, and gets, you know, through just sort of great work, has got to work with a lot of interesting people from a whole bunch of disciplines. And, you know, you highlighted a film one there, but a whole bunch of other things. So, yeah.
I think also, you know, it's the sort of inadvertent nature of the way she's inspired people as well, I think.
Yeah, so definitely.
I don't think she sets out to do that. I think it's just a byproduct of who she is and the work she does and the way she communicates.
Definitely. No, that's a good choice. Good choice. Interesting. Yeah, did you read her post recently on networking at parties?
I did. I sent it to you.
Yeah. Well, okay. Oh, you didn't have to admit that on the show. It's just like, you know, this is called band, you know. Oh.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I did catch that.
You did, yeah. Yeah, it was good. Someone sent it to me. But yeah, if you've not read that, check it out. It's quite interesting. Ways right. of networking at parties if you're at conferences.
Without exactly. feeling awkward or being creepy, I think is her term.
Yeah, creepy. Creepy people at parties at web conferences, never. Never going to happen.
No, can't imagine.
Okay, my choice. Well, I didn't want Josh to feel left out, but this is not why I chose the winner. But I've gone for your friend of mine, Sassy.
Right, Sarah.
Sarah Palmenta. For the simple reason, not because I didn't want Josh to feel left out. That would be silly, and that was pure radio filler. But really because she stuck to her guns this year, and she branched out and actually started a business completely unrelated to the web in her hometown of Lyon-Sea. And is now the proud owner of a blow-dry bar.
Yeah.
And it's been just fascinating listening to how that's developed and the problems and successes and difficulties that process has entailed for her. Uh-huh. But by all accounts, it's going well. There's demand for the business. And
bricks and mortar businesses are a whole other world.
Yeah, entirely.
The pain that we've suffered building small businesses on the web compared to...
Oh my God, and my payment gateway's down, you know. It's not the same as someone turning up hungover and being rude to your customers, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, obviously, yeah, we know Sarah, and I just thought it was well-deserved. I just think, you know, someone who's taken a relatively big risk, you know, property-based mm-hmm. businesses, bricks and mortar, as you say, aren't the easiest thing to get into. They're not cheap. You often have long commitments on leases and that kind of thing. And, staff, blimey. Apparently she had to fire someone within the first couple of days, and that's a whole new experience. Firing.
It's the most stressful experience of your life as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, hopefully it goes from strength to strength. So, I'm sure it's very calculated and it was all worked out. But again, I think a very brave move, and I look forward to seeing how that develops, and maybe one day we get down there and have a complimentary blow dry.
Yeah, that's if my hair lasts that long.
Well, you just got to grow it out a little bit.
That's true. Or maybe
get one of those big kind of hats.
Wisps at the side.
Can let it grow out, and no one would know. It just looks like you've got a big hat on, and then have a big reveal.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Marge Simpson. Yeah. Anyways, two to go. And
we're building finale.
Well, trend of the year.
Trend of the year. This is shall I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
So this is I think this has been a big feature of 2013. We've talked a lot about Mixture already today, but I think that developer-centric apps, little helper apps for developers, is a big trend this year. I've named just a few in this list here. So there's Mixture, Hammer, Macaw, CodeKit, Scout, Compass, Live Reload, Prepros Pro, and Koala. Just to
what's Koala?
Koala's like Mixture.
Now,
it's a gross generalization.
I'm blinkered. I look no further than Mixture.
Neil will probably...
Neil's grimacing.
He is. He's probably... He's punching my...
His head's dropped.
On.
He's
To be fair, it's actually more pre-processor based. It's just like... It's like CodeKit started off.
Oh, is it the Windows only one?
I don't think it's Windows only. Is it? It's definitely available on Windows. Maybe it is Windows only.
Anyways.
No, it's Mac.
Anyway, back to Mixture. I mean, back to the category.
Either way, yeah.
Developers, it has been a year. It's funny, I was talking to someone the other day saying, you know, reminiscing about how we used to write HTML and CSS, and then that's what, you know, we'd push those files to a server and then kind of link them to databases, and we got dynamic websites with interfaces that you could change stuff online, and everything just kind of got more and more complicated over the years, didn't it? And yes. Pre-processing and JavaScript libraries and linting and hinting and, you know, minification and white space this and God knows what else. And grunt, we haven't even talked about grunt. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you know, we still output HTML, we still send images and CSS down the wire, but the tools that we use have just got increasingly more complicated and powerful, of course, but at the same time, more complicated to grasp. And I think a lot of these tools have taken the pain. You know, they're definitely worth paying the money on because they take the pain away from your development mm-hmm. process. So you want to use these things. You want to follow best what is perceived as best practice and minify and lint and hint and, you know, compress and all these kind of things. And whilst on the one hand you can install a whole bunch of stuff to do it for you, or you can just get one of these apps like Mixture and let that do the work in the place of everything else. And yeah,
I should say actually that one of the things we just discussed there about what does this do, what does that do, I think that's one of the biggest problems in this space.
Yeah,
I think the most confusing thing is people like me, just as did now, saying it's like Mixture when in fact it's not really. But it's almost, you know, just like me saying it's like Fitbit for dogs when we talked about Whistle. It's almost a natural thing that's going to happen, but it in some ways isn't very helpful.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that has been, particularly with our sort of dev hats on, mm-hmm. been a big trend, and I don't see it stopping. No. I'm sure a few will fall by the wayside, but yes. I don't see that stopping. And I think, you know, things like Chrome extensions for these tools as well that allow you to interact with them in the browser, and sort of dev yes. tools in the browser as well, they're going to come more and more into the mm-hmm. fore. So yeah, it's an exciting space, but it's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up, but
and it is hard to know whether these apps simplify the role, you know, of developers or make our choices more more complex. So, you know, as someone who's teaching web design to students, I find it. I want to boil everything down to the bare essentials, but increasingly in our world, we have more and more options.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yes, and we thought
talking
we had
things, pulling things out of the bare essentials.
Oh yes, what my winner?
Yes,
yes. So I think the trend of the year has been this move back to static websites.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? It's been one
yes,
of the trends.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I think you know, my own site now is statically hosted, and you know, I remember discussing this on one of our early shows and saying, you know, I still love databases, and I still do, and I think there's a time and a place, but I have opened my eyes, you know, definitely wider to the different systems out there that mm-hmm. allow you to publish and you know, allow you to publish static content in a way, but still edit it. So I'm using Mixture now that has a collections feature, and I can just literally push from my laptop. And you know, part of me thinks, well, what if I want to edit a post on the go and do this? And I thought to myself, well, how often have I done that with WordPress? You know, I love WordPress, yes. but how often have I logged in and done a post whilst I've been away with only my phone? And the answer is never.
I'd almost disagree with you in a sense about going static, and it's more about this search for simplicity, because this is where, you know, all these, you know, micro, you know, it's micro CMSs and things come into it, you know, things like Ghost and all this stuff, things that are really sort of small, or Perch or whatever it might be. You know, I think it's almost like not just this search for static, but this search for, like, you know, boiling it down to the
a simple life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some other kind of hybrids. There's one called Siteleaf by Oak Studios, I think.
Right.
Again, that uses like liquid templating, and it's kind of a hybrid in as much as you have editable regions or templates that you can upload to their service, and then you can edit the content within their service, and then they kind of build a site and push it out to your chosen destination as well.
Right.
So, and you know, Neil's talked about maybe integrating something like that for Mixture for collections, and that will be quite interesting to do. But again, the move to static, or as you say, the move back to basics. So things like Craft CMS, which is came out of the Expression Engine project, that was Neil and I were talking about that the other day, and I had a play around. It still uses a database, but it's much simpler. It's very much like you define the kind of content that you want to publish, you know, what fields and that kind of thing. And there's a whole bunch of hosted online things now, like there's one called Get Barley. Even the rise of things like Squarespace that are drag and drop and allow you to achieve pretty slick sites pretty quickly for very little cash.
Yeah, I see a lot of people. I use Tumblr. I see a lot of people using Tumblr as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, features, and then it's like, oh, let's hone it back a bit. So, I think maybe going back to static or going back to basics or simplicity, a simpler life, a simpler way of publishing, focus mm-hmm. on the things that you want to get out there and not add all the bells and whistles and Markdown as well. I mean, that's probably another trend of the year. Markdown's everywhere. And, you know, I published
even in the
blog.
Screenwriting world, there's a thing called Fountain, which is a sort of Markdown derivative, which they're trying to encourage screenwriters to use so that we don't have this terrible clash of formats.
Wow, interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, back to basics then, maybe, yeah, instead of going back to the static. But
nice. I agree.
But yeah, okay. So wow, we're like 1 minute, 1 minute, 5 seconds, completely wrong. 1 hour, 9 minutes of recording time. So it's going to be a beefy one, but hopefully over soon if you stuck with us, and I hope you have. The and finally of the year.
Indeed.
Now, we've had some fun with this, and it's never something we set out to do, but it kind of those interesting sites or apps that you come across that didn't fit neatly into any other category. Not that we've had categories, but there we go. The and finally of the year. I've gone for hipsterlogo.com.
Nice.
I think that was one that stuck out for me. Nice. Because it did make me laugh out loud.
Yes.
But the thing was, I have to confess, I actually quite like some of the logos that they came up with.
You're such a hipster, kid.
I know. I am wearing my black-rimmed glasses. And there's my axe over there. I can see it from here. But yeah, it's firmly tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, I thought it was funny. Futura Bold Brothers, yeah, for the rugged pioneering look. I mean, we've talked about this before, but that was one that made me laugh. Indeed. Probably most out of the Anna Fineness. What about you?
Mine is Those Who Make.
Oh, a serious one. Did we do that as Anne Finley?
I'm not sure now that you've just said
no,
that.
No, I don't think we did. I think that was one of our links, but you can have it.
I'll have it, yeah. I think it's very nice. Again, a little bit hipster, the maker movement. And I suppose that's also a trend, isn't it, at the moment? This is it's actually a website, thosewhomake.com, but particularly the one that the site that I look at a lot is vimeo.com/channel/thosewhomake. It's a collection of Vimeo videos about makers.
No, it is really, really sweet. I mean, we kind of need a day off and just kind of queue these up and watch them.
Yes.
Because there's 330 of these videos, and they're all very watchable.
It'd be very nice to actually put it into lounge mode, or whatever I think it's couch mode they call it on Vimeo. And
I think lounge mode's better. Can we petition lounge mode?
I think they need so someone who runs a conference needs to just put these on at the breaks.
That would be good. Do we know anyone who runs conferences?
I've not. No, I don't really have any connections in that world. Do you?
No. If only.
Shame. Yeah, I think that's a good idea that Tom can steal. Just sit there.
Johnny B, if you're listening.
Yes.
Here's an idea for the next reasons. The Soap Man of San Francisco. That looks good.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, I'm doing it again.
I think there's a motorbike company somewhere that produces its parts out of old whiskey distillery machinery.
That's on and above. How do you even come up with that? I have no idea. But anyway, yeah, Those Who Make, good choice, even if it wasn't an and finally.
I'm sure it was.
Okay, we'll edit that show. But there we go. That was our first ever BAFTAs or BAFTAs or awards. BAFTAs. I'm not really sure. I tried to make it sound like BAFTA, but failed miserably. Yeah. The BFSAs. It doesn't really work. But anyway, that's our kind of annual roundup of all that is good.
Congratulations to all the winners.
Yeah. Next time you see me, come and collect your prize.
Mm-hmm.
Have we got no prizes, have we?
No prizes, no.
A free subscription to the Back to Front show.
Yes.
There you go. But we hopefully you've enjoyed that and a little reminisce over the last, what amounts to 11 months as we're recording this on December the 4th. But all good end of year things. They're recorded in like June, aren't they? June, July, yes, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scheduling. Is that not live? No. I don't know when
July.
Live in July. But I'm not sure. Do you think we'll be back behind the Yetis before the end of the year? Hopefully, maybe one more.
Possibly, yes. It's pushing it schedule, as you say.
Schedule. I don't know which. What does your wife say? She's American.
She used to say schedule, and now she says schedule.
Oh, so we say schedule. Very good.
Presumably.
But in other breaking news, as you announced on the last show, you are taking a well-earned break over the Christmas period, over the festive holiday season.
Over the holiday season. I'll be back in, the end of the first week of Jan.
So we might break with all traditions and with your blessing, which you have given, have a guest co-host for the first time ever.
Be exciting. Are we going to reveal the guest co-host?
Well, I think we can. It's
allow it to
It's one of our top listeners. If there's such a thing, top listeners, friend of the show, Mr. Mark Roberts.
Mark Roberts, Neutron Creations.
Neutron Creations, one half of that dynamic duo.
Indeed.
I call him the shoeshine guy, which will mean nothing to you unless you were a fan of Police Squad. Were you a fan of Police Squad?
No, I wasn't.
No, shockingly.
Google Police Squad and Shoeshine Guy, and he's kind of like that. Fountain of all knowledge, technical.
And I'm still...
Like, hey, Johnny, how do I bring up an ore stack in 3 seconds? And Mark will tell me and, you know, go about his business. It's great. But yeah, it'd be a pleasure to talk to Mark. Apparently he's going to try and steal an hour or so away from the family during the Christmas break. He has something resembling a decent microphone. All the knowledge. Whether we can cram it into an hour or less, I don't know. We'll try hard. But I'm sure it'll be fun. And
there'll be no better man to take my place.
No. I just hope he does it in his coat. He has a very special coat. Maybe we can talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we name the coat?
We should. The pimp coat.
The pimp coat, yes.
If anyone knows
Mark... Against your policy?
Well, I don't know. It's a P word, but I think we can go with pimp. But if anyone knows Mark and has met him during the winter months, they will know what we're talking about. It's an outstanding piece of tailoring.
I've even seen him in it outside the winter months.
You have?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, unbuttoned, maybe.
Yes, unbuttoned.
Not wearing shorts with it, hopefully.
No.
That would be an odd look, even for... No, that's... Well, I think what we need to do is get a picture of Mark in said coat for the hero image for that episode.
In fact, I think there might be a picture of him in that coat on the Back to Front Show site already.
I think you're right.
Episode two, I think it is.
Episode two. Let's have a look-see.
Yes, it is. If you go to episode two of the Back to Front Show on the archive, you can see that my face looking stupid and then the magnificent collar of Mark Roberts' coat.
He is. He does kind of... You wouldn't mess, would you?
No.
But it doesn't... I mean, it shows probably one-third of its glory.
It does. And it certainly doesn't show the high pockets.
The high pockets, that's what makes it. But we can talk about that in greater detail on that show. So hopefully over the Christmas break, we'll be joined by Mark, and we look forward to that. But thank you for indulging us in our, as we said at the top, slightly tongue-in-cheek annual awards and a look back over the last 11 months. I see most people say 12.
We're not recycling content in any way.
No, we'd never do that.
No.
Never. Never in a month of Sundays. And congratulations to all the web apps and sites and projects and people. That won.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I shall bid you farewell, Kieran, and hope to catch up with you one more time before the end of the year. Cheers.